Good morning and welcome to ASI Radio's Tuesday morning show, where some of ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products and more. I'm Joe Haley, and I'll be your special guest host for today. That's
special,
right.
Special.
That's right. I have the con for the next 30 minutes. We have a jam-packed show and lots of smiling faces in the studio. To my left is the popular and perky editor of Advantages Magazine, Kathy Houston.
Thank you, Joe.
Perky. You're welcome. Hey, Kath, it's been 2 weeks since you've been on the air, so what do you have to say to all your fans who missed you?
Oh, I'm glad to be back. I love you all.
That's nice. We also have regular fill-in Dave Vagnoni with us today. Good morning, Dave.
Hi, Joe. Good to be here.
Oh, good to have you. Dave and I ventured to the Sky Ledge in Chicago last week. That's at the Willis Tower, you talking about Willis Tower, formerly known as the Sears Tower.
Oh, yeah.
Dave, what did you think?
I enjoyed everything except the hour and a half wait. I mean, I got to spend the time with you.
Yes.
But there were lines
so
and then
it was
more lines.
An hour and a half with Joe.
Yes, it was.
It was worth the
$14.95. The bottom line was it was an hour and a half with Joe, but... The views were great.
The views were beautiful. The Sky Ledge.
And you got some great pictures, right, Joe?
Absolutely. Absolutely cool. Also in studio, we have Nicole Rollander, editor of Stitches and director of education for ASI. Now, Nicole is the proud mother of a magazine cover model.
Tell us about that. Well, Grace is 6 months old. She came in for her first photo shoot ever at ASI. And she had a great time, and we're really excited. You know, Kathy suggested Next Top Model.
Yeah, she's going
to
be America's
Next
Top Model.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to that.
She's
about
a natural.
18 years, yeah, clearly.
She was so well-behaved, unlike the rest of us.
Yeah, right.
Very good, Dave. And ASI's second most popular managing editor, Joan Chaking, is joining us today.
You're number one in my book, Joan.
Thank you, Kathy.
Mine too.
Melinda always called me ASI's favorite.
Well,
anyway.
Good
morning, Joan. Joan, your daughter is about to set off to Penn State.
Yes.
And just yesterday,
it was named
the number one party school. Are you all afraid of that?
No, bigger. Well, I think it's a badge of honor. I mean, the kids voted on it.
Congratulations.
Yes. I mean, it's beer, it's football, that's Penn State.
Joan, well, hopefully she has a girlfriend that'll hold back her hair when she's had too much to drink.
Hey,
she's refunding some of that beer. Rocking our mixer board as usual is Steve Hawk. And operating the feed and answering phones is Samantha Baith, who was also in Chicago with us. She had to haul a 100-pound box of radio
equipment.
Does
she even weigh 100 pounds?
No.
I don't think so. And, you know, no one would help her.
Steve was in there, right?
Steve was in there. That's right. All right. If you have something you want to talk about, please give us a call at 215-953-4979 or send your comments via email to radio@asicentral.com. If we put you on the air, you will score a $25 Visa gift card. But first, Kathy has a rundown of today's show. Kath.
Well, Joe, like you said, we have a big, big show today. First, we have Melinda calling in with a report live from Tucson at the Incentive Marketing Association show. You and Nicole will give us a Chicago ASI show recap. Dave will let us in on a Verizon guerrilla marketing campaign. And Joan will let us know how marketing is taking a beating on the Beltway. Plus, I have some truly hilarious things hiring managers have heard from job applicants. And Joe, I know you don't like to be criticized. Am I right?
I've got some tips for
cool.
Nicole has
cool with that.
All right.
I'm
well,
cool
Nicole has some tips for everybody.
Okay.
But first, Dave has the news in 60 seconds.
All right. Thanks, Kathy. We begin with a pending deal between two suppliers. As first reported in a promogram at ASI Chicago, Custom HBC has an agreement in place to purchase Custom Chocolate. The acquisition will allow Custom HBC to expand its offerings, which will soon also include a line of coffee. Custom Chocolate owners Paul and Janet Schmidt will continue on. Their company will officially be a subsidiary of Custom HBC, which will assume liabilities in the purchase. The deal should close within a week or so. Also today, New York-based Jetline has announced it will open a new plant location this fall. Jetline executives said the facility is needed to stay in step with double-digit annual growth. At the same time, though, Jetline will be closing part of its Mount Vernon, New York headquarters plant and will lay off 81 workers. However, after the new plant opens, the supplier will actually increase its staff to a larger number than currently exists. And finally, some sad news this morning. His friends called him larger than life. A man who passed before his time, Randy Shipham of Shipham & Associates, died suddenly last week in Chicago. He was 41. Known for an engaging sense of humor, Shipham is survived by many family members, including his wife and two small children. Our condolences certainly go out to his family. And that's the industry news for Tuesday, July 28th. 2009. Joe?
Thank you, Dave. On line six is our fearless leader, Melinda Lygos. She's calling in from the Incentive Marketing Association's 10th Annual Executive Summit in Tucson, Arizona. Hi, Melinda.
Hey, guys. Wow, there's a lot of new voices on the radio today.
Hi, Melinda.
Hey there.
Hello.
How's it going out there in Tucson, Melinda?
It's hot out here. It's about 107 or 110 degrees.
Whoa.
And my hotel room is on the ground floor, and I have a nice patio outside, but there's a sign out there. It says, warning, snakes and wildlife. So I have not ventured out onto the patio.
You're afraid of a little snake?
Yeah, I don't have rattlers there, Melinda.
Anyway, a lot going on here at the conference.
She's
a
just
lot
ignored
of
me.
Talk about the economy, obviously. but we had one session yesterday led by Gary Slack, who's CEO of Slack Barsinger, a big marketing firm, who talked about social networking, a topic we've talked about on the radio a lot. Guess how many C-level executives say they get the majority of their information online these days? Guess
75%.
82.
48.
Who said 82?
I did. Nicole.
I didn't recognize your voice.
I'm trying to sound like Michelle.
60%. Okay, so the majority. 60% say they get the majority of their information online. And that number, we believe, is even higher with influencers who are maybe younger people in the company who have an influence over the decision makers. So for that reason, the speaker recommended several tactics that everybody should be using right now to market themselves online. You know, one tactic is to send a survey and see what your customers are doing online. I mean, some of that number may be higher in some industries and lower in others. You know, ask your customers, do they have a Facebook or Twitter account? Are they looking at videos, you know, business videos, or reading blogs? When a Forrester survey recently reported that 42% of executives say they watch a business video at least once a week. So sending out a survey, I think, is really important.
Now, do they suggest sending out the survey through the mail, or do they suggest doing it online?
Well, you should, you know, another point I was going to give is you really need to communicate in the way that you think your audience members communicate. So if people in your industry, you know, or people that you're marketing to send a lot of email, then, you know, email is the recommended way. I mean, the message that Slack really gave everyone is, the medium that you use sends a message to your clients. So if you communicate with them in ways that your audience perceives as, you know, old and dowdy, then you're dead in the water. They're not going to look at you as a respectable firm. So,
no parchment? You know. That wouldn't be good, Melinda?
Quill pens.
Parchment with a quill pen,
you know,
as a premium?
If your industry favors parchment, then, you know, go for it.
With a little dust on it, I think.
I think so. But it was interesting because, you know, I mean, there's a lot of hype right now about Facebook and Twitter, and, you know, the message, I think, is to really find out how your customers are communicating and using this stuff. And, again, if you're in an industry that's doing it, then you should go for it. In another session yesterday, they actually gave out an award at lunchtime to the Incentive Travel Advocate of the Year because, as you can imagine, incentive travel is not just because of the economy, but because of the AIG travel scandal last year. Incentive travel has really declined. Mm-hmm. So the IMA gave an award yesterday to this company. Have any of you eaten in a Texas Roadhouse?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Sure Rich has.
Yes, I have.
He has.
And where? Which location?
Texas.
The original.
Well, anyway, it was a roadhouse.
Of restaurants. I've actually never been to them, but they sound like fun.
I think I've driven past one, Melinda.
Oh, okay.
Next time you'll venture in
because they have apparently great customer service as a result of the incentive travel programs they have. They have not shied away from incentive travel. In fact, they go to Ritz-Carlton hotels, you know, five-star hotels, and are continuing with some great incentive travel programs, which is why they got an award as a travel advocate from the IMA. But the guy from Texas Roadhouse who spoke about their programs, you know, he said there's a clear connection between the customer service their employees get and, you know, winning these awards. And they really do it up at the Ritz. They put a 25-foot blow-up armadillo on top of the Ritz-Carlton hotels that they occupy, which is funny. I'm surprised the Ritz would even let them do that. And they said the beer is flowing the whole time, and there's occasionally even streakers.
Ooh. Ooh. Just like here in the radio studio.
1975
I think that's a measure of any good program.
Still.
But related to the whole incentive travel thing is a lot of people here are talking about how some companies have shied away from incentive travel and are using incentive merchandise instead. Mm-hmm. So I think that represents a good opportunity for distributors who are venturing into the incentive world. There's definitely some business out there from some of these big companies that are shying away from the travel.
What's on tap for today?
We're going to go to some sessions in a little bit, talking about the business case for incentive program results management.
Wow, what a title.
Isn't that interesting?
Sounds intriguing.
The business case.
The business case.
Okay. Well, will you get back to us on that? What
I'm
is
the
business
you the whole
case?
Business case next week.
Good one or a tale of woe?
Hopefully it's a good one.
Okay.
And I'm going to learn about recognition programs in tough times. So I'll have lots to report next week.
Cool.
Well, Melinda, you have a fun time out there in Tucson, and we'll see you on Thursday.
I'll be back in the office on Thursday, hopefully without any rattlesnake bites.
All right, yeah, watch out for those snakes. Stay out of the bars.
Yeah, you know, you got to keep the snake if you get bitten so that they know what anti-venom to give you.
Oh, good tip from Rich.
Yeah. Let's see if Melinda wrestling.
Ranger Rich.
Thanks, Melinda.
I'll keep that in mind. Thank you. Oh.
We'll talk to you on Thursday.
All right.
Bye.
All right.
So last week was the ASI show in Chicago, and Dave, Nicole, and myself were in attendance, as was Rich, who just came into the studio.
Oh, the Windy City.
The Windy City. Very good. And
why is it called the Windy City?
Because it's windy there, Joan.
The politicians.
That's it.
There we go. There was lots going on besides our three live broadcasts. Nicole, how was Education Day?
Education Day was fantastic. Attendance was up 7% over last year at the Chicago show. And we're seeing that a lot of people in this economy are focusing on education to really hone their skills, you know, sales and marketing, for example. So we're really happy about that.
Mm-hmm. One of our big new pushes this year with education has been the new distributor success track. How was that attended in Chicago?
It was really well attended. Rich, I think it was probably the most attended track.
Definitely.
At the show. And
we gave out our new DVD and audio collection and workbook, and people seemed happy to get that. And if people listening want to get it, they can download it. I think it's on our website that they can download the new distributor track as well if they want to get that, as well as the PDFs.
Mm-hmm. In attendance, we had 4,300 distributors, which was on par with last year. 150 new exhibitors had never exhibited at ASI Chicago.
Wow, that's great.
And nearly all of the top 40 suppliers were there exhibiting. Mm-hmm. We also had the counselor banquet, which Rich was one of our presenters.
Did he look handsome in his tuxedo?
He looked dashing in his tuxedo.
Wow, this is just such a nice group today.
I know.
We gave out, we awarded all our counselor awards from our Person of the Year, which was?
Person of the Year is the distributor salesperson.
And our International Person of the Year was Bonnie Sandy of Dart Products. And Dave, any impressions from the counselor banquet?
Well, I had a great time. I thought it was very well put together. People that I talked to seemed to be having a great time. I especially enjoyed the dinosaur.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw you getting your picture taken with that dinosaur. I had mine taken as well.
No, I think that I think people were somewhat surprised by the Person of the Year, but when it kind of sunk in, you know, the folks that were there realized, that's exactly what needs to happen for the next year. It's kind of a motivating factor for those people out there that are the distributor salespeople.
Mm-hmm. And something new this year, the gala, which has been at the Excalibur for the last 5 years, was moved to the Spirit of Chicago, which was a big party boat that cruised
600
Lake Michigan.
People.
600 people were on that. So Nicole was there.
Yeah, I saw the video.
Boogie and Dan.
Yeah, I was a little scared when I watched the video
of
myself on the dance floor.
But
everybody had a great time.
Yeah, you know.
I got a text message at about 11:30. I am the dancing queen.
From Jeff?
That was
from me, actually.
I'm actually the dancing pariah. Years ago, the very first ASI show in Las Vegas, dance floor people were dancing, and I just would jump into a group and in about two beats, they'd all kind of just disperse, and no one went to dance
why.
With me.
Joe kind of forced me onto the dance floor.
That's a lot.
That's great.
I was dragged by people, and the best was the disco floor. It was like, you know, Brick House and all the... What was that other one from Saturday Night Live? Walk.
Brick House, you know those songs.
Well,
I Will Survive, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, all that fun stuff.
For anyone who wasn't able to attend, we have videos posted on ASI Central going out again in Promogram today, and you missed a good time, but there will be another ASI show next year in Chicago. We have one coming up in September in Las Vegas, the Holiday and Incentives Expo, so you want to look into that. So, Dave. Verizon is embroiled in guerrilla marketing campaigns for its prepaid cellular phone. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, what can we get for 99 cents, people? Anything.
McDonald's.
That's good.
Hamburger. You can also, if you want to take part in this Verizon campaign, Verizon sponsored 99 cent cab rides in New York City, and then later, a couple weeks later, sponsored 99 cent Mr. Softy ice cream for customers. And
not
the idea being to give some attention to a prepaid wireless plan. And guess how much that plan costs in usage per day?
99 cents.
You're all awake.
We
very
are
good.
Smart.
So for distributors, you know, there are more and more companies out there that are kind of using these guerrilla tactics. And if a company had kind of stepped up in this case, maybe one of those cell phone covers, protective covers would have been good to go along.
Mm-hmm.
If you are proactive and you're willing to go pitch to companies, there are certainly marketing opportunities out there that are cheaper than TV or radio spots.
Definitely.
And Verizon is using these guerrilla tactics now, and it's going to be, I think, kind of a harbinger of things to come.
Those guerrilla tactics make a big impact. We're doing an article on it in August Advantages, so look for that. That's one of the hot marketing trends.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
99 cents.
Thank you, Dave.
Less than a dollar.
It is.
With so much attention given to executive bonuses, incentives, trips, and the like, marketing is taking a beating down the Capitol. Joan, what's going on?
Yes, marketing and advertising are taking a beating from the Beltway. In a recent report from Ad Age, there are efforts to strip the $4.7 billion direct-to-consumer drug category of its tax deductibility. There's also congressional concern over consumer tracking on the internet, which is endangering the $23.4 billion online ad market. And the FDA is scrutinizing such household names as Cheerios and Tylenol. And there's proposed guidelines from the FTC seeking disclosure for paid blogs, posts, and even tweets. So the federal government's long arms getting into things, and they're sitting on the ad budgets for Chrysler and General Motors. And with the new Congress and administration seeking funding for health care and other programs, marketing has become the unpopular and it's an easy target, which is now ripe for regulation. And, you know, they're looking for ways to fund the federal piggy bank. So one attorney said in the article that the government and the FDA, Congress, have no idea of the repercussions of some of these decisions. They talk about wanting to boost the economy, yet more regulation will shrink the industry and have a negative domino effect. Less advertising by companies, less work for ad agencies, less work for production houses and graphic people, and less advertising in the media. But there are things that you can do to fight back. Perhaps companies that are directly affected can weigh in at the local level with individual members of the House and Senate, as well as federal regulators. Members of the interactive advertising and marketing ecosystem can contact. This Congressman Rick Boucher from West Virginia is leading this charge for the online restrictions.
He's in West Virginia. There's no marketing there. You know?
Like, West Virginia University.
He's not a senator from New York or Chicago.
He's a congressman.
Send a mail to Rich Fairfield.
No, I love West Virginia, but I'm just saying that it's always a congressman from an area that doesn't benefit from the
right.
from those industries.
Yeah.
Well, politicians do listen. We talked in Chicago about Iowa companies coming together to have sort of a ban on promotional products reversed, and when the final bill was made into law, there was an exemption. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you do write letters and if you do make time to speak with the politicians, they eventually get to the point where they're understanding of what's good business and what's not, but you have to work together.
Yeah, I mean, you know, ask those same politicians, would you not campaign?
Right.
Would you not use T-shirts and bumper stickers and yard signs mm-hmm. and that? That's all marketing. That's all promotion.
There's no argument against that.
Yeah, and other
well,
people
even are, the social networks. I mean, they're all a lot of these congressmen and senators. They have Facebook pages, and they. That's the new administration. I mean, they're very much in tune with that. Mm-hmm. So
maybe some regulation in terms of what they can actually say in political ads, like the truth.
Yeah, that would be a good thing.
That would be novel.
Don't that's get silly there, Rich.
I know.
Come
it's just,
on.
This is just a
stop
silly
drinking
Tuesday.
In the morning, Rich.
Well, we're trying to keep it real. Well, thank you very much, Joan. And this report will be posted on ASI Central later on today. So about 10 years ago, we did a counselor feature on eco-friendly products, and it was a stretch finding 10 products for that feature.
Really?
Kid you not. Today, they're all over the place. And while we've debated on this show whether they're here to stay or just a fad, a recent study found that in the retail sector, it's far from being a fad. Kathy?
That's right. It's not a fad. In companies that are doing very well, it's a way of life. It's a corporate culture that they make for themselves. According to a new research report from RSR Research, an eco-friendly focus is not a fad, but rather a strategic initiative being employed by the best-performing retailers across all corners of the enterprise. The report surveyed 94 retailers from April through July, and those retailers whose sales are already outperforming their peers have a much different approach to green retailing. They view environmental sustainability holistically as a baseline component to any new or existing practice throughout the enterprise, and their underperforming peers still tackle green efforts on a project-oriented basis. So green is here to stay for companies that are performing well.
And I think with the retail sector, and I've said it until I'm blue in the face, that if you're a distributor out there and you haven't gotten with your local grocery stores or any type of retail environment and shown them non-woven polypropylene bags as an alternative to plastic or paper bags,
right.
you need to do that now, because this is something that is just gaining a lot of steam. And I mentioned that my wife shops at two grocery stores. She has bags from both of them. And the Acme bag also gets taken to Gennardi. She doesn't take the, you know, just Gennardi bags to Gennardi's.
Right.
So that's extra advertising for
the competition.
Acme. Sure, why not? But I mean, they'll be seen all over the place. They're using them at other places, just those than the grocery stores.
Well, I think a good tip for distributors is if you're showing a client something that has an eco-friendly version as well, show them both versions and let them pick. Because a lot of companies are going the eco-friendly way these days.
Well, the counselor banquet this year was green theme.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was organic. Grown.
Yeah, a lot of events are now.
Products, yeah.
Right.
Thank you.
The ESPYs did the
You're
same. ESPN's ESPY Awards.
They were green as well.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The Counselor Magazine has been printed on sustainable forest paper since, I think, 2005. They plant 3 trees for every one that they cut down.
That's good. That's
we're ahead
good
of our time. Ahead of the times.
Thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome.
All right, if you're a fan of Entourage, any fans of Entourage here?
Joe's got a hand up.
Okay, Rich's got a hand up with a woohoo.
I don't have HBO.
And you want to hang out just like the boys? Well, you need to get yourself to the W Hotel in South Beach. And some call what they're doing marketing genius. And Nicole is going to fill us in on what's going on.
Yeah, well, you know, we're hearing a lot about partnerships in the industries, and this is a great example of it. So yesterday, the newly opened W Hotel in South Beach debuted 5 Entourage-themed bungalows. It's the hotel's first branded suite created for a marketing partner. So they've got some cool features like that are inspired by the HBO comedy, like a stainless steel pool table, an outdoor barbecue and a stove, a private plunge pool, and artwork from rock photographer Danny Clinch. 4 people can go for $5,000 a night, but you get a lot for that. You can mimic the quartet and Entourage. So you get a personal driver, an afternoon of yachting, Kathy, a personal poolside cabana and jet skis, yeah. Joe. Dinner for 4 at South Beach hotspot Solea, followed by table service at W South Beach Walls Nightclub, not to mention a PlayStation 3, Dave, and complimentary booze from Grey Goose and Heineken.
Joe.
Michelle.
Kathy.
when are we going, guys? Where's the road trip?
But the good news is that there is a more affordable alternative for guests at the 22W hotels across the country called the Entourage Package. You can upgrade to a suite with complimentary champagne and an Entourage Season 5 DVD. And you'll also have free access to an on-demand selection of Entourage episodes from seasons 4 and 5.
Mm. That sounds delightful.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So, but I think that everything you're getting for the $5,000 isn't too bad.
No, it's not. But
are
I,
you paying, Joe?
Are
you buying us?
Well, if we're all Entourage characters, who would I be?
I don't watch Entourage.
You'd be E.
Thank you.
Would you be Turtle?
Yeah, I'd be Turtle.
I was glad. I thought he was going to say I was going to be Turtle. I said, I don't want to be Turtle.
No, you'd be E.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, that sounds
would you want to be? Who do you want to be?
Not Turtle.
No, that's because I'm Turtle.
Well, thank you for that story, Nicole. If you've ever interviewed job candidates, you know that it not only helps you weed out the undesirables, but it sometimes gives you stories to tell for a long time. A few years ago, I interviewed someone who was extremely nervous and extremely sweaty, and I felt so bad for this guy. I just Aww. Wanted to end it for him, but I kept him in there for the 25 minutes. I mean, I'm telling
you. So did you hire him?
No.
Well, you know what, Joe? Those things are understandable. That's a normal way to act
right.
on a job interview.
But I don't sweat on job interviews.
Well.
All right.
Good deodorant.
Well, Kathy, now that we've cleared that up,
Kathy has some weird things that people have said.
Oh my God.
During job.
I can't even believe these things. These are actual things that hiring managers have heard. This was on CNN.com. One person told the hiring manager, "My parents told me I need to get a job, so that's why I'm here."
Very once, motivated.
Yes. One said, "I left my last job because I have a problem with authority." But this is a good one. "I get angry easily, and I went to jail for domestic violence." "But I won't get mad at you."
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
I hired somebody that had been convicted on assault charges. But we didn't
Who
know
is
that
it?
Until afterwards.
Are they here?
No, in another company.
Are they in this room? Yeah.
That's me.
Listen to this one. The person asked, "What are your hobbies and interests?" And the guy said, "Well, as you can see, I'm a young, virile man, and I'm single, if you ladies know what I'm saying." Then he looked at one of the fair-haired board members and said, "I particularly like blondes." Do you think he got hired? No. "Why should we hire you?" This one guy said, "I would be a great asset to the events team because I party all the time."
Huh. Entertainment director like in casino.
Yep, that's right. You know, that does come in handy. Partying all the time. If you're an events planner, right?
If you're having parties all the time.
Yeah.
attending a party is not the same as giving a party, though, I have to say.
Yeah. Well, no. If you attend, you know what everybody likes, I would think.
Yeah, so. The event planner is picking the location and the menu and the theme. Again. They're certainly not picking the rummies that are coming to the party. There's no need to pick, you know. We need at least one rummy here. Thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome.
Okay, if you're in business in any capacity, chances are you've tracked an overnight shipment via the web. But yep. More and more delivery companies, and I'm using air quotes, are getting in on the act, and Dave has a report.
Yes, tracking software is becoming a big deal. Domino's is marketing a pizza tracker where you can track the status of your pizza from when it's prepped to bake to box.
What,
to,
like in
to
the 30 and minutes it takes to get to your house?
And they have this, well, online they have this thermometer gauge. I'm using my hand because we're on radio. Where it's different colors and it tells you how far along your pizza is, how close it is to get
to
be
wow.
You got
to
be
really
bored to do that.
Yeah, people are doing it.
Or hungry.
In our industry, suppliers have rolled out similar tracking software and distributors have been appreciative of that so far. But there's a lesson in this. If you're going to use that technology, you have to come through and deliver. There was a woman who ordered a Domino's pizza.
She's still waiting for
that.
She's still hungry.
That tracker, and what happened was for 45 minutes she tracked it from the shop until it got to her door, and the delivery person said, well, that tracker must be wrong. When the pizza came out, it was stone cold, so she decided to write some comments on the website, bye-bye Domino's.
Oh.
So you have to deliver if you're gonna use the software. Mm-hmm. I promise you'll
that
get it done.
That makes sense.
Yep. Customers are paying attention to this tracking software.
Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
As we continue to plod through 2009, some business people are wondering where the best places in the country are to do business. Yeah. Well, Joan has a list of America's top states for business.
Yes, we have from CNBC, the top, states in rankings, they base it on categories like cost of doing business, the workforce, quality of life, economy, transportation, technology. And the top five are Virginia.
Yeah, Rich.
Pardon?
Virginia.
Not West Virginia.
Not West Virginia. Not Virginia.
West Virginia.
Well, you know, it's close. It is in the region.
Bottom.
Yeah,
bottom.
I would think so. Virginia's in the top. That's all that, Northern Virginia area.
Right. Mm.
Right. Yeah. Texas. Exactly. Colorado. Hmm. Iowa. And Utah.
Why'd you make a face at Iowa?
I don't know. I just.
What are you prejudiced against Iowans?
Iowa and Utah is a lot of customer service. People are very well spoken and well educated and can answer the phone with very little accent.
Hmm.
As opposed to here.
As opposed to me.
I know what you're talking about. I take a sip off of my water before I answer.
Water. Philadelphia.
The bottom five. Does anyone want to take a guess of what
I'd like to know.
Number 50 is?
Yes.
West Virginia.
Alaska.
Mississippi.
New Jersey.
Alaska.
Oh, okay.
Hawaii and Alaska are the bottom.
Because they're expensive.
Right. West Virginia.
Beautiful.
Nevada.
That's strange.
I was surprised at that.
What, Las Vegas?
And Rhode Island.
Really small.
Yeah.
It's a small
state.
It's
all over the place. Pennsylvania is number 33, by the way.
Surprise there.
The middle of the pack.
Yeah.
Colorado is one of those up-and-coming states where there's a lot of home building going on there. People are moving there, so it doesn't surprise me that
home building
the top
is
five.
Going up. Yay.
Rocky Mountain High.
New home sales.
Yeah. It's beautiful there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joan. That list as well will be posted on our website later today. Criticism can be like a punch in the face, can it, Kathy?
Yep.
It can also be a good learning experience. However, some people can't handle criticism of any kind, but here
Not
comes
Joe.
Nicole to the rescue.
Well, here are 11 tips from a blog on intent.com. So one thing you can do is admit that it stings. Don't feel bad if you go and cry in your office or the bathroom after
Don't
you get
cry.
The criticism. No.
But you're not recommending that people cry while they're getting the criticism?
No, no, but...
Just
but,
to check. I just wanted to
no,
check.
No, I think that's a really unprofessional
Especially
thing
Especially
don't
to cry
do.
At work.
No, don't cry at work or in front of your boss. No, but they're saying that if someone's criticizing, you can say, wow, I really thought I was doing a good job.
Right.
You know, I'm miffed or confused that I'm not, but I'm going to step up to the plate and, do what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Don't react yet. Go back and think about it. Think about what you can do better and come back to the person with the plan and say, hey, I thought about what you said. This is what I can do to improve.
And then go cry.
And then go cry. Yeah.
Aww.
Let's see.
You have an issue. Here's a tissue, right?
Right. Here's an issue. Here's a tissue.
Well, he's on fire today.
One of them is consider the source. Don't take any crap. For example, you could be in a situation where someone's trying to, one up you and they're unfairly criticizing you.
Right.
So if that's the case, kind of back up what you've got and go to somebody who can help you out and, bring closure to it. If somebody's saying to you, this needs to improve, say, okay, by this date, I'd like to do this, this, and this, and let's revisit it and see if I've improved.
Mm-hmm.
But number one, yeah, don't cry. It says right here, don't cry in front of your boss. It's rarely a good thing.
So sometimes it can be good.
It's probably never good.
No, it's never good.
It's never good.
No, Rich doesn't care. He likes to comfort you when you cry.
Although I did almost cry in front of a boss once because I found out my cat had been put to sleep and she came up to my desk and I turned around and my eyes were welling up. She's like, what's wrong? And I said, my cat just died.
That's different.
But yeah.
It's like if the boss tells you you got to improve on something you're doing on the job, you don't cry. No.
You say, it'll be done by the end of the day.
Kathy is tough.
Exactly.
Don't you cry in front of me.
Hardly tough. All right. One final story, and Nicole has this one. A marketing icon has passed away.
Gidget the Taco Bell Chihuahua.
We can cry.
Wait, Michael Jackson.
We can cry.
Let's try this again. Finally, we have one last story. A marketing icon has passed away, and Nicole has it.
Yo quiero Taco Bell.
That's right. I think that would probably be Dinky. That sounded like a male chihuahua, but Gidget, one of the Taco Bell chihuahuas, died from a stroke. She was 15 years old.
Aww.
Which is like 102.
Yeah.
A stroke?
Yeah,
Taco Bell.
There have been a number of Taco Bell dogs, and the first one was Dinky. Was a male dog. And we all know Yo Quiero Taco Bell. I can't say it with a good...
Is the Taco Bell dog the most recognized marketing icon for a company?
No, I don't think so.
Scooby-Doo
I think it's up
was
there.
The most recognized
it's up there.
Dog.
Not dog. Somebody dog. That's marketing for a spokesperson for the company.
Spokesdog.
Spokesdog, right.
It's up there. That's a frightening picture. Of a That is...
Are you kidding?
Really?
Chihuahua
you have
cute.
A picture of the dead chihuahua?
No. I was
just... Okay. We're careening
on
out of control here.
Okay.
Yes, on that note.
On that note.
Yes, very recognizable marketing icon. One of my... It's my second favorite.
Who's your first?
Come on.
Mickey Mouse.
The caveman.
The caveman.
I love them. Everything comes to a stop in our house. The only commercial we actually watch are the cavemen. So, all right, that's all the time we have today. I'd like to thank everyone who was in studio today. Thanks to all our listeners. And stay tuned. Next week at 10:30, we'll be coming at you live again from Trevo's, PA.
Thank you, Joe.
Bye.
Bye-bye.